take your Bible, if you would, and look at Psalm chapter number 12 with me. We're going to look at one verse there that kind of sets the base of what we'll be preaching on, but then we'll be in another place in just a moment. Psalm chapter number 12. It's good to have Mr. and Miss Kincaid here. They pastor a church and they're on vacation and friends with Miss Kathy and so they're in the area and come visit with us this morning. It was here, I guess, that's several years ago, I guess, when y'all were here before. So we appreciate y'all taking and being in the service with us today. All right, if you look here with me, I just want to take and just want to look at this very first verse. And I was reading in the Bible not long ago. I try to read it every now and then. And as I read this verse of Scripture, just some other stories and people in the Old Testament begin to go through my mind. But Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 1, he says, "Help." You ever been there? He says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the fruitful or for the faithful fail from among the children of men." So it's like the psalmist David here is crying out and he's saying, "Help." He says, "For the godly man ceaseth." Otherwise, and he begins to talk about how they fail. And we look around us today and we see that everywhere we look, it seems like that there's people that are good, godly people, it seems like, but that are giving in to the flesh, and the devil seems like overtaking their lives in many situations. And I just want to preach in just a few minutes, right after we have another song on this subject, and that is why godly people fall. Why do they fall? And there's some reasons, I believe, that we can use as warnings today in looking at the Scripture on this subject. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, God, that you would bless now this morning and the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mighty God.
just wonderful. He's more than wonderful. The song tried to describe it, but truth of the matter is we don't have enough English words to really describe how wonderful God really and truly is. Go ahead, if you would, and turn over with me now to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. This story comes to mind when I think about the verse that we just read about godly people and how they fail or how they fall. And you know, when you think of that subject, you think of a lot of people in the Bible. And in Sunday school this morning with the teenagers, we was in the book of Jonah, and we began to think about, and I told them, I said, Jonah, I believe, was a very godly man. I mean, after all, God chose him. God wanted him to go and preach to this very wicked city of Nineveh. So God must have thought something of him, even though he ran from God and ended up, paying the price and 3 days in the belly of a whale. But I believe he was a godly individual that God wanted to use, but yet he failed. But thank God we have a God of a second chance. You know, several other people, you know, all through the scripture, the same type of situation. You know, look at how God used Noah. I mean, all of the people on earth at that time that God could have used, but God, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God used him to build that ark. God used him and saved he and his family. But then we find shortly after, all that's over with, the flood's over with, and what does he do? He plants this vineyard, and he has these grapes, and he makes wine out of them, and he gets drunk. You know, and just wicked things that took place there. So you find where all through the scripture where godly people have their times and their moments in their life where the flesh gets the best of them, just like today. Just like everywhere that you look today. And, you know, and every time you turn around, especially as a pastor, you hear somebody say, well, what happened to old so-and-so? Or did you hear about so-and-so or this pastor or this whatever? And it's very, very sad, no doubt, but how can we prevent that today? You know, what's some things that we can do, that you can do as a Christian, that you can do as a Sunday school teacher, as a choir member, as a pastor, as well? What can you do to take and to ward these and to be prepared? Because you don't sit there this morning thinking, that never happened to me. Oh, I promise you, the devil's after you. He's after me, and he wants to make a mockery of every Christian that he possibly can. I promise you that. But I think of the very one that wrote the verse there that we looked at in the book of Psalms just a moment ago. I look at what happened in his life. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, in verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in a evening tide that David arose from off his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and they lay with her, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Now, a very familiar story here, I'm sure, to many. But here we find King David. We find a man that is the Bible refers to as a man after God's own heart. Even the scripture refers to him as the apple of God's eye. You know, one that wrote a great deal of the book of Psalms and many other places in the Old Testament. But yet we find that here is a situation. Now, I'm not going to argue the point whether this adultery was premeditated or not, whether he had this planned out or whether it just happened to work out that way and his flesh got the best of him. But personally, I believe it was premeditated. Personally, I think he had a plan. And so here we see it's at, the Bible says in verse number 1 that it's at the time of the year that all the kings that were to go to battle, but instead he sends Joab, he sends all of his servants, he sends all these people. So there he is. And by the way, the Bible even goes so far in that verse, says he sent all of Israel. Or I believe what it means there is all of Israel that were of fighting age and those that were warriors and so forth and that were men of battle. But there he is. He's in the evening tide. He's walking upon his roof and he looks across and he sees Bathsheba bathing and sends somebody for her. And then it's just downhill, downhill, downhill continually after that. Just by way of introduction this morning, I thought of some consequences of our sin and how it affects. Here we find over in chapter number 12, when all of this had come out and all of this had taken place, and we find that then what it affects. So by the way, don't sit here this morning and think, well, my sin doesn't bother anybody. It's my business what I do. It's my business how I live my life. And I'm not bothering anybody with my sin and I'm not affecting anyone. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. I promise you, you're affecting somebody somewhere along the line. There are people that are counting on you. And one thing's for sure, it's a slap in God's face after he sent his only son to Calvary to die for you. And then we just have an attitude that we can live however we want to live and we don't have to follow the word of God. We see here in over in chapter number 12 and down in verse number 10, it says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart out of thine house." So the first thing it affected was his own home. He says, "Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." And in verse number 11 it says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun." So the same thing, he says, is going to happen, is going to take place. So it affected his home, the consequences of it. And not only did it affect his own home, but it affected the whole nation. It affected the whole nation. In verse number 12, it says, "For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." Otherwise, he's saying, be sure your sin will find you out. Before you know it, everyone is going to take. See, we don't, especially as a child of God, you don't get away with anything. Now, yes, I believe in forgiveness. I believe in restoration. I believe in all of that. But I also believe that we certainly pay the price because of our sin. Be sure it will be found out. But it even affected the whole nation. It's just like there's decisions that's made in our country. Leaders that make decisions that affect you, that will affect your children, will affect your grandchildren, that will affect so many on down the line. That's why, as we said a moment ago, it's so important that we get involved and that we cast our vote and that we take and that we do our part when it comes to these particular things. Because I'm telling you, if we don't, what's going to happen? Well, the truth of the matter is, there's been, and I guess it's always been this way in history, but it seems like of lately some of the craziest decisions that people make, and you sit back and you wonder, how in the world can they even begin to justify that? I was talking to somebody just the other day, a couple days ago, and they was talking about Obamacare. And they said, you know, they said at the time it felt like that was what I needed to do and that I could afford it. It was $300 and some a month, and my whole family had health care. He said, "I just got a notice in the mail the other day that now it's going to go up. It's $900 and some dollars. I talked to somebody who was telling me about somebody else they knew the other day that was relatively affordable. Affordable Health Care Act. I'm just glad they passed it so, you know, we could find out what was in it. You know, you got to do that to find out what's in it, according to certain people. But this guy said, you know what? He said, I got a notice in the mail. It's going up to $1,200 and something dollars. Now, let me say this. And there again, I'm not a mathematician. I don't claim to be an accountant. I don't claim any of that. I try to work a calculator the best I can, but there's even a lot of little buttons and symbols on there, and I don't really know what they mean. But they say that Obamacare, just to get that started, just for before it ever really took effect, all of the cost, the people that was paid, the research, all the money that was poured into it was $360 million. $360 million was spent. Do you know what the population of the United States is? 317 million. Now, like I said, I may not be the brightest guy in the world. But wouldn't it have made it a whole lot more sense for them to just give each one of us $1 million and say, hey, you get your own health care, you're responsible for your own doctor bills, you do your own thing. My plan would have saved the government $40 million. And we all would have a $1 million. I mean, seriously, I mean, I'm not trying to, I mean, I like I said, it does take a rocket scientist to figure this thing out. Well, now they're figuring, well, anyway, I didn't mean to get off on it. I'm talking about I start into these things and then I just get way over here, you know, too far. But decisions that are made and things that happen that affect for a long, long time. And we see that's what happened here with David. We see that it took, and boy, it affected the whole nation. Not only that, but I also say it affected his whole world. Down in verse number 14, it says, "Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And that's exactly what did happen. That's exactly what did happen. So yes, you know, our sin does affect others, no doubt. Let me give you just three quick things this morning, if I may. Very, very simple message this morning. And we're talking about why do godly people fail? Why do they fall by the wayside? Why do they backslide? How does these things happen in our life? Number one, I believe it's because of a lack of activity. Otherwise, they're not busy doing the right kind of things. Idleness. There's an old saying that says that, you know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, if you're not busy doing the right kind of things, I promise you it's going to affect. I say that's why it's important that you get involved in a Sunday school class. I think it's important that you get involved in some type of a service for the Lord. If you can sing and you can carry a half a tune in a bucket, I think you ought to sing. I think you ought to use your gifts and talents for the Lord in some way or another. You know, whatever it is that God has taken and given. I mean, we're always needing people on bus routes and in the bus ministry and to visit and things of that nature. Get involved and get busy. That's why it's important that you're in the Word of God, that you pray, that you have a steady diet of the things that God would have us to have each and every day in our life. Why? To prevent us, hopefully, from going down them wrong. A lack of activity. Because I promise you one thing, God or the devil will see to it that you do something with your time, and it may not always be good. So that's why we need something to fill that time, and we need good quality, wholesome things to feel that. You know, that's why, you know, the Bible talks about in so many different places these wicked imaginations and things, and how that the devil can, through things around us, get to our minds. That's why the Apostle Paul told the people in the book of Philippians, he said, he gave them a list of things to think on. Don't think on this over here. Don't go down that road. But whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. So otherwise, get the garbage out, but don't stop there. Get something good in there. Get something righteous and wholesome to take the place of it. And I believe that God will honor that, and God will bless that. Get involved is what I'm saying. Get involved. Don't sit by idle. That's why I believe that people ought to, whether we're talking about voting, you ought to get involved. You know, I know there's a lot of people think, well, Christians shouldn't get involved in politics, and Christians shouldn't take and you know. No, I think Christians should. I think that's the problem. I think, well, we all allow our voice to be heard, but we've just sat back and said, well, I'm just going to trust God, and I'm just going to do it. And look what happens. You know, God wants us to take. He wants us to get involved in some way or another. Go and cast that vote. We was on Wednesday night, last Wednesday night, there was going through the book of Proverbs on Wednesdays, and there's a verse there that talks about casting of lots, and I didn't realize there was so many places in the Bible where it talks about casting lots. Did they cast lots, remember, for Jesus' garments, and they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. That's how they knew to throw Jonah overboard. Different, in especially in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they really honestly believed that when they cast this lot, that it was a way of finding out and knowing what God's will is. In which actually they would take usually a rock or a stick or something, and they'd have this thing, this little area laid out, and they threw it, and wherever it landed, you know, just like today we would refer to it as rolling the dice, I guess. But you find it's, I didn't realize there's a bunch of times in the Bible that talks about casting a lot. Well, when I was talking about that Wednesday night, and when I was preaching, and Brother Rick spoke up, and he said, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do Tuesday. We're going to cast our lot. We're just going to roll the dice, you know. We're gonna throw it out, and we're gonna cast our vote. I never thought about it as to why it's called that, but in a way, the more I thought about that since Wednesday, that's pretty much what it is. That you're doing that, and a lot of it's just hoping for the best. I mean, we don't have perfect people to run for office. We don't have perfect ones. You know, they all got their issues and their problems. I went yesterday and was able to go and early vote up in Aiken, and I went in there and I cast my lot. Yeah, I kind of just rolled the dice, you might say. And I'll say this, and I know that they say, well, preachers shouldn't get involved in all that, and you know, they can do this and they can do that. Well, give them my phone number. I don't know. I think it's time we speak up. I'll just be honest with you. You say, well, you refer to it as a gamble. I think if you go in that voting booth and you vote for Donald Trump, let's admit, you're rolling the dice. We don't know what we're going to get. I don't care who you are, you don't know what you're going to get. It may turn out to be the best thing in the world. He may get the right people in the right places, and I hope so. I hope so. But I'll say this, if you vote for Hillary Clinton, you know what you're getting. It ain't a gamble, and it ain't good. Look at the history of it. You know, you got about 2 hours. You say, well, you ought not talk about that. You just need it. No, I think we'll talk about it. I think our nation is at stake. I think our religious freedom is definitely at stake. She's already said what she was going to do, that we got to take some of this power away from these ministries, from these nonprofits. We got to do some different things there. So I'll be honest with you. I'd rather roll the dice. I went yesterday and cast my lot. That's what I done. I thought about that when I walked out of there. And pray and trust God. I don't know what's going to happen Tuesday. I don't know what's going to take place. But I do know one thing. I do know we need to take and we need to pray and we need to ask God to have mercy on this nation. And yeah, I understand. And we've preached it and preached it and preached it. Yeah, you know, there's certain prophecy has to fulfill itself, and God has a perfect plan and all of that. But I do believe that I don't believe God's done with America. I believe there's people still to be saved. There's things to still take place and to happen. But you know, let's take and let's make sure that we do our part and do what? Get involved. Lack of activity, we said. Sometimes that's why people. Second is because of a lack of accountability. A lack of accountability. That was David's problem. He didn't have anybody to be accountable to. They were all gone. They were all gone. I've run across this verse in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 15. It says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us?" He said, "Woe unto that one that hide their works are in the dark. Their sin, their deed." I promise you one thing: you're not hiding it from God. These little secret lives that sometimes that people have, and sometimes young people and adults alike. You know, you get on those phones, and you got a whole nother life and a whole nother. Well, I promise you one thing. God knows exactly what you're reading. He knows exactly what you're viewing. You're not, you can hide it and you can do what that verse says in the dark all you want to, but and that's why I stop right here and I say that it's important that you have some kind of accountability. As good a man as David was, he was still just a man. The old saying says, the best of men are only men at best. You know, we still all have this flesh on us. And it's important that we're accountable, that you get you somebody, your spouse or a friend or somebody that you're accountable to. I went on my phone one time and I went in. You can go, actually, if you have an iPhone, you can go in the settings. You can, I guess there's other ways or things you can put in, I don't know. But you can actually go into settings and you can set it just right. There's certain things that just will not come up. And I found that and I said, that's wonderful. You know what I'm talking about. You get these emails. I get two or three a week. You know, meet Asian singles. Click here. And it's constantly, you know what I'm talking about. Bob your little heads up and down. You know, you get all that junk too. And I'm thinking, you know, what I want to meet Asian sin. I can't handle the non-Asian married one that I've got. I don't want to need an Asian single. But since I put this thing on there, if you go to click on it, it comes up. It says content cannot be viewed on this phone. And you know what is that? That's just some kind of a accountability thing. You know, and people need that. There's apps that you can get somebody else to download the same app, these accountability apps, where if you go on something, a website or something on your phone or on your computer, that somebody else can go on there and they can know exactly what you've been looking at. And there's some people that do that with one of their parents or somebody. And you say, well, I just don't think all that's necessary. You ought to just be trusted. Well, look at King David, the apple of God's eye, the man after God's own heart, wrote a lot of the Bible, God's holy word, Scripture. It happened to him. It happened to him. I think we need to do everything that we can to be held accountable. Be held accountable, and it's very, very important. But see, do we not want that? Maybe we don't. By the way, I'll say this: when you delete or you block your pastor from certain things, there's a reason for it. There's a reason. I have people sometimes here in the church, adults, say, well, so-and-so blocked me, and this teenager, yeah, there's a reason for it. There's a reason. And, you know, we better get back to accountability. We better get back to, you know, we need to know, you know, some parents just sit back and say, well, I ain't into that stuff and I don't agree with it and I ain't buying. You know, maybe you need to get into it. Maybe you need to look and need to see, you know, exactly what's going on. A lack of accountability is exactly what happened to King David. There was this large ship, and there was a woman that was setting out on the deck of this boat, and all of a sudden she seen the captain come running by, and he looked like he was in her, like there was a problem. It bothers you, wonder what's going on. She said, "Captain, is everything okay?" And he said, "Yeah, I just found out that the rudder is broken." And she said, "Don't worry about that. Nobody ever know it. We can't even see it. It's under the water." He just shook his head and kept on going. That's the exact attitude that a lot of people have about things. Nobody sees it. I'm not bothering anybody. Oh no, the ship's going to go down. It's going to happen. It's going to affect. You're going to be way off course before you know it. Because just like that verse of Scripture, boy, what a great, I never noticed that verse before. There we read a moment in Isaiah 29:15. They take and their works are in the dark, and they say, "Who seeth us?" It ain't bothering anybody. It's my own personal life, and doesn't nobody's business, first of all. It may not be, but I promise you one thing, somebody's going to be affected somewhere along the line, because you'll get in so deep. So here we find where anyone that King David could have been held accountable to, he sent them away. Joab, first of all. Joab was gone. Matter of fact, we find over in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 5. I think we may have that up there. Yes, so on over several chapters, 2 Samuel 19:5, it says, "And Joab came into the house of the king." This is after it's all said and done now. "And he said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines." Now think about that. I mean, Joab looked eyeball to eyeball with King David and said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "While you're playing the fool, and while you brought shame on yourself and this whole nation," he said, "there we were out there fighting, or there were we were out there protecting you, protecting your family, protecting this nation, while you're acting so foolish, and you've taken and you've shamed us all." So Joab was gone. Matter of fact, there in chapter 11 in verse number 1, it mentions that. That he was gone. It says in the middle of verse number 1, David sent Joab. And who else? It says, and his servants. All the servants were gone. I just believe David had a plan. I don't believe that he just happened to be up there on the roof and he's just walking along and all of a sudden, "Oh, there's a woman over there bathing." I just don't believe that's the way it happened. I can't prove it either way, but I believe he had some type of a plan. His servants were gone. Not only that, but we see in that same verse, all of Israel was gone. It says that Joab and his servants and Israel. Anybody that took and could go and could fight was part of that, was out of town. So there's old David. There he is in the palace, all by himself, no one at all to be held accountable to. And lastly, I believe the third reason that people fall is because of a lack of appreciation. A lack of appreciation. Over in chapter 12, we find here that in these first few verses, first of all, the Lord sent the man of God, Nathan, to him. Nathan said, let me tell you a little story, David. He says, there was two men, in verse number one, he says, there was two men in one city, the one was rich and the other poor. Verse two, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, and the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. And he had brought and nourished it up and grew up together with him and with his children, and they did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man and appeared unto to take his own flock and his own herd and dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. Nathan's just talking to David. It's David, he says, it was these two men. One was very wealthy, one was a poor guy. And the one only had one little ewe lamb was all he had, and he was very poor, and he raised this little sheep up from a baby, and it ate the same meat that they ate. It ate drank the same thing that they drank. It was like unto them as a daughter. It said it was like their own child. It was like a pet. The rich guy takes it, slaughters it. David says, is that so? Who is he? Give me a name. Give me an address. He said, I promise you, I'm going to deal with him. He's going to pay the price for what he done. Who is he? Come on, Nathan, tell me who it is. Nathan looks straight at David and says, thou art the man. Boy, some of the most powerful words in all the Bible. Thou. You're the one that took Uriah's wife. You're the one that took and done this. And you're going to pay the price. David already said, he said, that man will pay for that sheep fourfold. That's exactly what happened with David. You can turn over several chapters. He paid the price. His daughter was raped by a half-brother. Tamar was. One day he goes out there and remember Absalom's hanging from an oak tree by his hair. Four things that happened in the next several chapters. Boy, David went through it. He paid it. Whatsoever man sows, what's going to happen? He's going to take it. He's going to reap that. Well, here's what I'm getting at. Down in verse number 7. It says, and Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. He had a lack of appreciation. That's why a lot of people fall into sin. They don't appreciate what God has done for them. He didn't appreciate God's blessings. The first thing here we see, he said, I anointed thee. I mean, gave him the throne. I mean, one of the most blessed men that's ever walked on planet Earth. He said, I delivered thee. There's people right here this morning, God has delivered you from all types of things. There's people in this room, used to be drug addicts and used to be alcoholics, and you've been down all kinds of roads. There's people here that have lost their families and have all types of things that God has taken and delivered you from. So for you to take and you to go off into sin and you to take and get out of God's will, and That's just like slapping God in the face. Why do we do that? Why do we allow that to happen in sometimes in our life? Because of a lack of appreciation. I think sometimes we just don't think about it. We're not thankful for what God has taken and has done in our lives. And we allow the flesh to take over and we mess up. But if we'd ever get thankful, we'd ever get appreciative enough, oh my, I believe we could do great, great things for God. He said, I delivered. And then he says, I gave thee. He says, and if that wasn't enough, he says, I would moreover. He said, I'd have given you even more. He says, if that was too little. Otherwise, basically saying, David, whatever you wanted, it's yours. And you know that. And then you have to go and do something stupid like this. A lack of appreciation. Lack of appreciation. Think about that. Next time you're going to participate in that sin. Next time you as a teenager, you're going to go off with that crowd that you know that's maybe not the best group in the world. And they're going to influence you and you're going to end up doing things that you don't need to do. Think about Jesus hanging on that cross for you. Think about the price that think about Him taking and giving you a wonderful home in heaven and all that He done for you. And so if you can continue to go in that wrong direction, you're showing a real lack of appreciation. It's time, folks, to get I believe thankfulness is a remedy for a ton of things. And sin is one of them. Sin is one of them. If we could ever just come to the place in our life where we could get thankful enough. So why do godly people, why do they fall? Or as Psalm 12 calls it, fail. Why do they fall short? Why do they drift? Why do they, I believe there's three, probably many, many others, there's three simple reasons. We need to be accountable. We need to be accountable. We need to get active. It's time to get involved. It's time to get busy for God. Get so busy we don't have time for whatever. You know, if we're busy doing what we're supposed to do, we'd probably be too tired to do all that. Let's get busy doing what God would have us to do. And then I say also because of a lack of appreciation. Do you appreciate what the Lord has taken and what He's done in your life? If so, I believe we would show that by following Christ and doing what He has us to do. Let's all stand this morning all over. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's just ask Him, first of all, to help us in this area of our life. Because nobody here is exempt from this. David wasn't. We certainly aren't. So I hope that you're not thinking, oh, not me. Better be careful. You flirt with this and that on that internet, and one thing leads to another. You meet some old friend, and then, well, you know the story. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. And that's what the devil wants to take, wants to have. You better get somebody accountable. You as a man or as a lady, if you got any social media stuff on your phone, you ought to better hand it to your spouse at any time and say, here. As a young person, you ought to be able to hand it to your parents and here, look. Anytime they come up and they ought to have access to any of that. Any, I guarantee you one thing, especially, it's amazing a 12-year-old has their own life and their own thing. No, parents, get your head out of the sand. You ought to have all passwords. You ought to have all that. Not because you're trying to be mean or not because because you love them and you care for them and you know that the devil is real. That's why. They can get mad at you all they want to, but the truth of the matter is you care. We need accountability. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for the Word of God. And Lord, we see this morning how important it is that we take and we look at a life like King David. Lord, we're thankful you used him after that. His life wasn't over. Oh, he committed some terrible, terrible sins. Terrible things. Adultery. Had Bathsheba's husband basically murdered. But Lord, you still used him. Oh, things was different. It was never the same again, I'm sure. Lord, I pray there may be somebody here this morning that just needs your wonderful forgiveness. Maybe somebody here today that needs some prevention. They're right on the verge of going down that wrong road. Lord, I pray we've taken heed to this story today. In Jesus' name we pray. With heads bowed all over, our sisters playing the piano.